Good evening and welcome to Outsources, a weekly KGNU program that provides you with content related to the queer community. I'm your host, Sean Kenny, and today on Outsources, we have another installment in our occasional series we've called Under the Radar and Onto the Airwaves, which brings you stories that highlight the lived experiences of people in the LGBTQ community in Colorado. This evening, I'm talking with Obina Onyali, who goes by Obi. Obi's hometown is Aurora, Colorado, and he currently works as a college advisor in Denver. Obi's background and experiences have given him a unique perspective as an active member of the LGBTQ community. Well, Obi, thanks so much for joining the show tonight.
Oh, wow, Sean, that was like really awesome intro. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
We're so happy you're here.
Definitely. Well,
could you maybe start by just telling listeners a little bit about who you are, what you're doing currently in terms of work?
And I'm a Colorado native, like you said, born and raised. I love this place. High school, college, see you, Boulder, go Buffs. And now worked in admissions for a little bit, five and a half years. That's a long time. And loved it. But I felt it was time to be closer to the younger generation. And now working as a high school counselor, college advisor, let me be very correct, college advisor is great. So it's a removed piece to where I get to talk about whatever in terms of those kids, in terms of wherever they want to go. If you want to work, great. If you want to go to a four-year or two-year, it doesn't matter. I'm just here to help you make that happen. So I'm in a very happy place.
What do you like about that work? What's drawn you to this? Because you've kind of stayed in higher ed in some form or another.
True.
Since graduating college. So
I think understanding them and what makes them tick, because they're, I've already done it. Yes, I'm still young. I'm 31. But at the same time, I've done a lot of different things. I'm like, listen, don't do this. Do this the right way. So you can be a little bit more successful than I was. I always believe that when you become successful, you want to also make sure that you bring somebody else up at the same time. Because when you continue to bash somebody, what does that get you?
You kind of talk about your role as advising students and kind of helping them walk through this difficult transition in their life. Many times people can associate college advising with something that's fairly cut and dry, that might be that's the perception anyway,
sure.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
When in reality, students that you're working with are bringing their lived experiences, their backgrounds, their identities to bear on what they're doing currently and their college search. How do you see that showing up in how students are thinking about college or thinking about their choices for the future?
They're really conscious of it, and they understand, I think they're necessarily afraid, but they know that certain things aren't meant for everybody, and making their own decision. Asking them, a lot of them were like, what do you want to do? One of them is like, I want to become a mechanic. I want to own my own business. So I'm just like, oh, so you're an entrepreneur. I get it. But you're doing it in a different way. It's not the quote unquote, traditional entrepreneurship in terms of pure, maybe financial business. It is just literally, no, this is my passion. This is the love that I have. I want to do it. Or knowing that, oh, yeah, I want to start a community college, but I know I'm going to, 4 years down the road. Like one of those kids said that, he was like, oh, I was talking to my barber, and they said, you should go to this school, so you can learn how to do it. But he's like, yeah, I'm going to do this for a little bit before I go to go to school for engineering. And I was like, okay. I was just like, wow. So you know what you want to do, and you're just taking the right route that makes sense for you, instead of somebody telling you that no, it needs to happen in this way, it needs to happen for this amount of years, so you can do whatever you need to do. So, it's good to see that they know what they want, but still needing that assistance to be like, well, you've done it. What do I do about this? So, it's cool.
I'm curious what you draw on personally from your own background. Like when you were younger and going through that process, are there experiences that you draw upon in kind of making that experience or connecting with the youth that you work with?
I think so. I think the main, it comes from, especially just during my senior year, where I wish I would have applied for more money. Because I think that limited me in terms of what I had the opportunity to do. I'm grateful for where I am now, the people that I met. You know, I'm grateful for that because I wouldn't have met the people that I met and have the life that I have. But I always think that, you know, I wish I would have done that in terms of other pieces of my life would have improved a little bit better if I would have known that. And I feel like I was, you know, sold a dream a little bit about CU, and it wasn't real. And that was a tough decision, but I'm glad I stayed. But again, it's like one of those things of like, no, this is be very knowledgeable of what you're walking into. You know, I know it's tough to think about right now, but just think about like you want to go to this next step. You're done with this place. This is what it's gonna take. You know, and this is where you want to go. Some of the kids are like, I know, but I want a degree from here. I want to go have this experience because my parents wanted to go here. They didn't have the chance to go there, you know. So they're not doing it just for them. And it's just like, you know, who am I to say anything? And I'm just like, hey, yeah, I believe you. I hear you. You know, I empathize with you in some way or the other because knowing that that value that you have towards the people that you love, whatever that may mean, you know, doesn't always mean direct family. You know, love can be friends. It just depends on who you grew up with and who is your primary, you know, source of like positivity.
So, yeah. I think you're really calling out just how much is involved with these decisions that students have to make. You know, they're
so much
not just making an individual decision about what interests them, but weighing their relationships, what's meaningful to them, their future.
It's intense, you know, and a lot of them, some of them don't know. And, you know, some get really emotional, and you know, and you always have to check your emotions to be like, okay, you know, this you gotta give them some positive feedback really quick, you know, so they can, you know, one girl, we were talking about financial aid, and like she didn't get the entire amount, and like you could tell the tears were starting to come to her eyes because she was about to give up, and I was right then and there, you could tell it was like I came so far for what I could do, and this I was like, it's not done. There's still options. We're going to make it happen. I don't know how. Like, not lying. So I'm like, it's all going to be great because I don't know that. But to say that there's things to make it better. So just don't stress about it right now. And I think some of the times not like they don't get that from their home life, but sometimes they need it from a completely different source that doesn't really know them, but yet still has so much faith somewhere or the other that they can do it, because everybody has something that they're skilled at, you know. I think we're all still trying to find it. So I think, you know, we're still trying to find that niche for us each, for each one of us. I mean, that it's a continuous journey. But they always think that, you know, sometimes the younger generation, like when they don't see it very often, they think that it's going to end. That, you know, if they can't get it right now, that they're not going to be able to progress. And it's like, no. The journey isn't always straight for every single person. Everybody had, you know, stuff to go through, you know, here and there. So
I wonder how you find students' identities showing up in that process. I mean, do you find that you're working with LGBTQ identified students or encountering gender, sexual diversity, or if not, you know, other identities that are coming into play along this road, and then what obstacles they're facing institutionally, you know, systemically in that path?
I think I'm still trying to figure that out. You know, one student was looking at got a list of scholarships and was, you know, happened to pull up one that was for the LGBT community. And, you know, I read it and I was like, okay. And in my head, I was thinking about how do I answer this question to really let her know that I understand where she's coming from. And I was like, just so you know, I would be more than happy to recommend you for this because I'm where you're at. I am. Okay. And I get it. So think about it. And if you want to do it, you let me know. You know, so it was one of those things. It was that I was just like, hey, without actually saying the words, because just, you know, some just aren't really ready to deal. And I get it. I've met people who are our age and who aren't ready to deal. So it's one of those things, you got to take it bit by bit.
I wonder about what engaging in this work looks like on the side of the University of Colorado when you were still working for a university. And you talk about that, the difference between expectation and reality.
Mm-hmm.
and you framed it as, you know, a dream. Mm-hmm. And I do think a lot of people frame it that way, as, you know, this next stage of their life as a dream that they're needing to buy into mm-hmm. or get excited about. What was that experience like, though, for you in terms of expectation versus reality?
Yeah, you know, I think it's, you know, I knew it was going to be a big school. And I knew there were a lot of, you know, white people on campus. I got that. You know what I mean? But it wasn't, and I'm a very, you know, I love to love and learn about every culture that I'm around, because I grew up in Aurora and that's all that there was just everybody of everything, you know? So, and I love that. And I think I didn't realize the magnitude of how much I wasn't getting that at CU Boulder, you know? But then I realized you have to create that space, and then it can become somewhat of the dream that you know was supposed to happen, but more of what you know it could be down the road. I think that's where it comes from as well.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Outsources on KGNU. I'm your host, Sean Kenny, and I'm talking with Obi Anyali, a resident of Aurora, Colorado, who works as a college advisor in the Denver metro area. We're highlighting Obi's experiences today as part of our occasional series, Under the Radar and Onto the Airwaves, which brings you voices and important narratives from the LGBTQ community in Colorado. Can you talk a little bit, as you were mentioning this process of transitioning from growing up in Aurora, Colorado, going to a university setting, did you find that you were also, I don't want to say coming into, but exploring or coming to understand different parts of your own identity? I'm talking about, you know, sexuality racial identity, different parts of your identity. Can you walk us through what was coming together in that?
Yeah, you know, and I'm still to this day is still trying to piece it all together. But I think it was the idea of what sexuality is, and it's not, you know, so very black and white. It's literally all over the place, you know, and I love that. I, you know, I'm still trying to understand so many pieces of this community, this life, this everything, you know, that I'm a part of. But I think I'm more understanding of being open to, you know, what that is and what things are. It was a matter of like, okay, oh, I see that it's okay somewhat for this community, but not so much for the one that I came out of. But at the same rate, I learned to love who Obi is, you know? And I think that's a hard thing to do because you don't get it, but sometimes you have to quicker than others. It's a cultural thing sometimes, and sometimes it was bit by bit. And if you're intertwined with that culture, because that's where your heart and your base comes from, it's hard to deviate from it, you know? So you just try your best and get through it and see what comes of it.
I so appreciate that perspective, because I think so often there's this narrative, and often I think it's a white narrative, you know, gay, lesbian narrative of coming out, which is, you know, maybe a very defined idea of what that should be or has to be, and that it's something that needs to happen all at once or should. And what you're talking about is balancing a variety of identities for you personally.
Crazy, yeah.
And that's happening for you in a different way, incrementally, or, you know, in a way that's more in sync with other parts of your identity than maybe this other notion of what it means to come out or be gay or what have you. Did you find yourself kind of navigating that as well in terms of expectations or?
Yeah, you know, and even to this day, saying that somebody is coming out is so, it's like, what do you mean by that? You know? And, you know, it's not like you're thinking of it like, oh, that person didn't, like, someone's like, oh, you didn't fully come out because you haven't told. It's that person's personal business on who they tell. It's about who they feel most comfortable with at that time. it's a journey that you can't necessarily dictate for every single person in terms of that quote unquote cookie cutter coming out. You know, like when somebody doesn't comes out quickly on social media or something, people ostracize that person. What are you talking about? They did what they wanted to do. Who do you tell somebody that's not right?
Well, and you know, so navigating that, you also talked about the need to create community in a place like a university setting. Yeah. What did that look like for you?
It looked like finding and interconnecting with people who I felt were like me. And just were as joyous as, you know, as snarky as, you know, loving and as powerful and as I was or as I wanted to be. You know, a little bit of everything like that, to be honest.
You mentioned being an advisor for the Black Student Alliance, example, at the University of Colorado. I mean, you experienced creating community as a student. And then in some ways you were a part of supporting community in the form of a student organization at CU. What did you learn in kind of being in that supportive role, sort of on the other side of that?
You know, it was understanding that how I led when I was in BSA as president does not work the same now. Let me let them figure it out and see what works for them and then support that as much as I can and realize that you know, yes, it's still the same concept or idea of things happening, but it's just in a different manner than it was maybe 10 years, 20 years ago. It's just in its different forms that make sense for the society that is right now. And so, and especially for and how that younger generation understands it. So it's a matter of like, I can't tell you what I did that worked when I was here because it made sense. And we had different people connected within the institution to like help out and like really understand, you know, so you all know who those people are for you now in their capacity and what they can do. So you got to work through that. All I can do is support you. And if I think something's not a good idea, I will tell you it's not a good idea and what that means.
Yeah, and I'm curious if you think, or in what ways you think that things have changed in the institution and in society, you know, even in that context of Boulder, that students, that the community is kind of responding to in terms of student activism, which I think is there's such an important legacy of student activism on university campuses and at the University of Colorado.
Mm-hmm. I think it's that, you know, being silent isn't the best idea anymore. So it's just like you can't, like before people were like, oh, well, we'll just let it be. Not some people aren't doing that anymore. Some people are like, no, I'm not going to stand for that. You know, I'm going to let you know that it's wrong or it's not working out.
What are the issues that are kind of on your mind currently? You're working in the Denver metro area. But just for you personally, like what are those issues that are really rising to the fore for you? And I know you've mentioned seeing your students and issues that they care about.
I think the idea of shutting down schools and putting in, you know, nothing. I'm not saying charter schools are bad because I've met some great students from that, but it's understanding that when you shut down a school, it really displaces so many people. So many people. What do you do with that? Like, how do you react? You know, so that's my biggest thing is just like, why the need, instead of trying to find ways to improve or support or assist, you know, why close a school down? You know, the kid just wants to learn. The kid just wants to learn. Like, why is that not an option? You know, why is it they have to go through hoops to do certain things? You know, so it's unfortunate, you know, and then like, when trying to help, I never realized how hard it was for kids to apply to school or to do things like FAFSA. Oh my gosh.
You're talking about the application.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
Financially.
Yeah. Yeah.
That students have to do in order to determine financial need.
And let me tell you, it's just difficult to do. And even I'm like going through and like, I don't remember it being this tough. And it's just like, you don't make it easy or you don't make it accessible for people who to get it, who don't necessarily have, who haven't had access to technology, as some people do. So that, so this is a one step, but they're not, so they're not used to technology, but it makes it not, you know, very counterintuitive to use. And it's just like, what are you doing? You know, so it's just, I never realized how hard it was. And now I get why there's certain students that don't apply to certain schools, to be honest, because they don't make it easy. I'm grateful that I went to CU and I worked at CU so I can help and I can explain the process to, you know, I think that's one of the upsides, you know, from working at an institution to now working at a high school, is I can say, this is what it looks like and this is what's happening. Let's avoid it. It's like, I've never understood, and now I get why some students just don't go apply to certain things, because it's tough. And it's just like, how do you get these kids to go to school?
Especially if they may not have resources, man, or support or family members that have been through the process before.
Some kids are homeless youth. They are, you know, in foster care, you know, or they live with guardians. So it's just like, it's because, so they aren't living with people like consistent who are going to give them that support sometimes. So sometimes the only support, the only encouragement they get is when they come to school, which is an amazing thing for them to get that validation, you know, and it's, you know, and so it's just like, this is their one time to get that validation.
We talked a little about your kind of experience with an understanding of your sexual identity in college. I'm curious about how you understand your sexual identity today and how that comes to play into play with other parts of your identity, how you walk in the world with that identity.
Literally how I walk. I walk as if it's me. I'm, you know, I don't have the energy anymore to try to impress somebody else. If you know who I am and you love me, then we're good. If not, I'm not here to do this for you. You know, I'm here to do, like, you know, I'm here, I'm me all day, every day, you know? So in terms of how I dress, you know, I'm, you know, weight has always been an issue, and I always felt like I needed to be a certain size within the quote unquote gay world. And I realized, no, I'm going to be the size, whatever size I want to be. You know, so it's small things like that to where I'm just like, oh, I'm good. Once you love your body, however it is, yeah, I'm going to still do improvements here and there because I want more tattoos. But it's because I'm doing that for what I think would work out for me. And that's once I was able to say, like, oh, I'm me all day, every day, you know? And it's just one of those things where I'm just like, love is love. And like, whoever I end up loving for whoever a certain amount of time will be whoever it is. You know, and I think that's the other thing about, as I've gotten older, to understand that, you know, life is too short. You know, love is a very powerful thing when you find it, you know, and sometimes it comes in waves. And it could be a really long wave. It could be a really short wave, you know, but that wave is meant to teach you something so you can go on further and or make you enjoy it. If it's like one of those things where that love is like a lifetime love and it ends up being a lifetime, you learn a lot in that lifetime. Even though it was that you're meant to be with that one person to love them. So, and that's what the biggest thing. I was just like, you know what? Do you. Do you.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's so true in that there are sort of these unspoken guidelines or rules about everything from dress and mannerisms and talk to our bodies about what is or isn't acceptable or what, you know, what is or isn't attractive and these types of things. And so it's difficult in certain ways in that there's a community kind of, and that's a negative part of the community, but it's a community nonetheless, but sort of acknowledging that and then moving past that or fighting that, which can be tough.
That's tough. Cause I mean, I think you evolve in life in terms of how you dress, what, you know, what your style is, who you want to be, you know, and I think that's what I'm, you know, that's what I've learned. It's just like, I mean, how I used to dress, it worked for who I was at that time. And now I'm dressing for how, whenever I want to. You know, I've learned to adjust what OB is. And who, they call me Obina at school, like who Obina is in that space as this adult. Because I'm re-envisioning who I am now. And I think everybody should do that at some point, whether it's big or small, whether it deals with hair, whether it deals with clothes, whether it deals with where you're living, what you're doing. You should always re-evaluate and see, okay, is it really working or am I just going with it? One thing my time away from nobody who told me, and now what they say. Been bad against it, ain't getting nowhere, just raising, got nothing to say to nobody. Little lady, better get in line, now I'm talking this to myself. Better get on down with the program and sell your life on all broken. Even sell if you fall like Tom Petty, waiting on this rodeo too old. I break my rules, still my way on, God, it's still like a beast. Erase the glow.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Outsources on KGNU Boulder, Denver. I'm Sean Kenny, and I've been speaking with Obina Onyali. Obi has shared his past experiences and current work as part of Outsources' occasional series Under the Radar and Onto the Airwaves, which brings you stories that explore the lived experiences of members of the LGBTQ community in Colorado. As always, let us know if you have comments or feedback about tonight's show by emailing outsources@kgnu.org. You're listening to Outsources on KGNU, and we'd like to wrap up this week's episode with a look at events happening in the LGBTQ community in Boulder, Denver, and beyond. Out Boulder County is hosting a variety of events this week, November 14th through the 20th, in honor of Trans Awareness Week, including a community dinner, a name change clinic, and a movie screening. This Friday will highlight an evening of stand-up comedy in tribute to local comedian Jordan Willeba, who passed away just over a year ago. For more information about event details and how to attend, visit outboulder.org/TAW. The 9th Annual Red Ball is coming up this Sunday, November 19th, at the Exto Event Center in Denver. Hosted by the Denver, Colorado AIDS Project, the Red Ball is a premier hair and fashion runway experience, with funds going towards meeting the evolving needs of people affected by HIV and other health conditions. For more information about event time and ticketing, visit redballdenver.org. And if you have news or events relevant to the LGBTQ community that you'd like us to share on Outsources, or if you have questions or comments about tonight's program, email outsources@kgnu.org. Join us next week, Monday at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of Outsources, bringing you homegrown queer radio in the state of Colorado. That's Monday, 6:30 p.m. right here on KGNU. Or listen anytime after the broadcast at kgnu.org/outsources. I'm Sean Kenny, and you've been listening to Outsources, KGNU, Boulder, Denver, Fort Collins.